Special report, coronavirus update. White House economic advisor Kevin Hassett says the nation is taking baby steps.
You can really see the percentages of businesses opening up is closing in on 70% and so on. And so we are getting back to normal.
But Hassett says he doesn't expect to see much improvement in the economy until June.
So we've had the biggest negative shock ever and then the biggest policy response ever. And so we're kind of in uncharted territory. And the thing that I'm optimistic about is that we're seeing the data turn on way faster than I expected.
Britain's Dan McAteer is one of 10,000 who've taken an experimental vaccine.
I felt very much impotent and powerless in the middle of the pandemic, so I thought, right, this sounds like maybe I can contribute in some way.
The vaccine is being given to the young and the old. If the vaccine proves to be effective, British officials say it could be available, but perhaps not until late in 2021. I'm Mike Moss.
Put America first.
Fallout from President Trump's trip to a ventilator plant.
It's not a joke, Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel says of President Trump's refusal to wear a mask, in front of the media at least. She says it was an illegal activity that might prompt her office to act to prevent something like it in the future.
If President Trump doesn't care about his own health, doesn't care about the health and the safety of people who work in those facilities, at least care about costing these facilities so much money by having to close down and disinfect the plant after he leaves.
So he responds on Twitter, the wacky do-nothing attorney general of Michigan, Dana Nessel, is viciously threatening Ford Motor Company for the fact that I inspected a ventilator plant without a mask, not their fault, and I did put on a mask. Bob Costantini, the White House.
The agency in charge of public transit in New York City will use ultraviolet light to kill COVID-19 on buses, trains, and at subway stations. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 147. I'm Mike Moss.
Right now, home sweet home has never been sweeter. Our homes are more important than ever, and finding people we trust to take care of them is just as important. For over 20 years, Home Advisor has been connecting homeowners with trusted local plumbers, electricians, roofers, and more. And now we're making it easier than ever for great pros to join the Home Advisor network. For a limited time, home service businesses can get $200 in free advertising. Visit homeadvisor.com/offer200 for details. That's homeadvisor.com/offer200.
Mojo would swallow things whole. A chicken carcass, a bird nest, and assorted stones and sticks. After surgery, Mojo had skin issues. He was constantly itching and scratching, chewing the hair right off of his legs.
DinoVite.com.
On the DinoVite, all of these symptoms disappear.
DinoVite is nutrition.
If you love your dog, you need to put him on DinoVite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
DinoVite.com.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There's nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service, there's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center, and when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Holiday weekend weather starts with 97, sunny today, south wind at 15, 66 tonight, sunny and 94 tomorrow, 65 tomorrow night, 98 and sunny on Sunday, 101 and sunny on Monday.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, George Davis from Yuma Investment Group. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Tom. How you doing? We've got a three-day weekend here. Looks like some...
Hey, you sound a little muffled.
Hey, wait, what are you doing?
Through that mask.
I'm putting a camera on you, man.
Well, I was reading this article, and if I sneeze, it actually goes 200 miles an hour out my nose.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know you had that much speed in you anywhere.
I didn't either, man. Like,
200 miles an hour, that's pretty dang fast. I could reach over there.
another stat, I think it goes like 10 feet or something, doesn't it? Is that on there?
That's probably on there, yeah.
You know.
That kind of velocity, I think you'd blow a hole in that mask anyway. I'm not too worried about it.
Well, a cough is 50 miles an hour, and that's 3,000 droplets.
Yeah.
And a sneeze
is...
Wait,
you said a cough is 50,000 miles per hour?
No. 50 miles an hour.
But I think the real effect of this is the COVID-19 is the speed of fear. That's what's killing us.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
George, you're adding to it, buddy.
Anyway, a sneeze is, I don't know how far, but that's actually the whole room.
Wow.
Hey, yeah, so the number one question we're getting out there is where are we going forward, you know, with the market and the economy opening up? I mean, I know that's sounds like an obvious question, but so basically, if to put things in perspective, the market was at its high the third week of February, and then it was at its low March 23rd. So from February, the third week of February to March 23rd, there was about a 40% pullback in the market.
That's amazing.
And the fastest in the history.
20 days, the fastest bear market ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So since then, the market's rebounded back up. About 30%, or maybe probably 35. So it's only down, give or take, about 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in the big scheme of life, 10% is not a big issue. 40 could be.
It's kind of amazing to me with the lockdowns, the people that are temporarily out of work, we assume temporarily, and all the things that have happened financially, to only be down 10% is kind of. Saying something about our economy and the feeling that they think it's going to come right back.
Now, I have some stats, and to the second part of this is, is the economy going to either, they call it like an L shape. Well, it's already recovered. Is it going to go sideways and go back up? Is it going to go down? And I think once numbers start coming out, and there's a lot of numbers that are undertone numbers that are going to come out. And to me, it's almost like having a storm, anytime there's a big storm, you don't know what to expect when you go outside. I mean, the unknown just could be there. But anyway, so a lot of things are happening. So one of the things that's happening is a lot of people got furloughed. I think we got $36 million of people in unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest since the Great Depression, again.
Yep. Again, yeah, right.
But what that's saying is a lot of people haven't made their mortgage payment. And, the mortgage companies, I don't think they get excited. The first 30 days, it's just the second 30 days is when it flags.
Yeah.
So that's saying, once things don't get paid on that front, and if they haven't made their mortgage payment, I assume they didn't make their credit card payment, because you don't. So that could be some other.
And their rent, too. They don't have a mortgage, rent payment.
Yeah.
But didn't that get extended, Tom, on the CARES Act?
What get extended?
Like the government saying
only if it's a
forbearance.
Well, it has to be done by Fannie Mae or the other one,
right. Which a lot
of
them are.
They can push,
but it's all a lie because you're not going to be forgiven. It's still going to be your bill. You're still going to be posted as late. They're just not going to come collect. That's all. At least until it's over. But they're going. These agencies are going to come for their money in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it just pushes the payments back to the end. I mean, an interest continues, but...
you still have the same loan.
I don't know if you'd be late. Do you have to apply for that?
It dings you as late.
Oh. It does.
Ooh. Yeah, so there is a price to pay.
That's probably the worst thing you can get on your credit score is late for, on your house.
Exactly, and I know Derek was talking about it, just like, don't do it. Because...
Yeah.
Even though they make it sound like it's pain-free, and in some sense it is, it's not going to be a collection call. It's just going to be ding.
I know some businesses, and locally I know this for sure with some of the banks, is that they will let you extend. You don't have to pay your rent for 6 months,
right.
And it doesn't go against you.
That's a different
it's like
deal.
An amended
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And then basically it all accumulates, and at the end you got to pay it. So you do got to pay it. It just gets,
that comes from private enterprise that's allowing it, right? Some banks? Some of them.
I think, yeah, some okay. banks. But yeah. most of them, I think, are. And I think the government
but be careful.
Made them that, or made it so they could do that.
Yeah, and I think it made mandatory the government says you can't call or collect. I mean, that's okay, but doesn't mean the bill goes away. You know, so some people could be getting themselves in trouble.
So this recovery being a V, we think it's going to be probably more like a W, and it could be more like a W where the first part of the W dropped 40%. The second part might not go down as much. It might go down 15, 20, 25, you know, 30. Mm-hmm. But who knows? We don't think it's going to go as deep. And then from there, it can either do a W and recover pretty quick. And I know a lot of people think that their recovery is in mind, you know, by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other idea that you read about, George, which you just told me, but I never heard of before, it's called what, the swoosh?
The Nike swoosh recovery.
So
the hockey
imagine,
stick?
Imagine
yeah, the hockey stick recovery. Where
imagine a W where...
Tom shot holes in it already.
Imagine a W where it dips again, and then it ends with a swoosh signal.
Yeah, there you go.
Which basically means it's a longer recovery,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean...
Yeah, it's not a V or a W straight up. It just, from that part, it takes a little bit longer to get to, you know, where we were. And
we've got so much money out there with all these, free money from the government stuff. If they really go spend that this weekend... I mean, that's going to be a big surge. It's going to make an impact.
Yeah, it is. It'll be interesting, Russ, to see how this is the first big weekend, you know, the weekend of summer, and it's a three-dayer now that things are opening up, how much it'll affect the
exactly.
travel.
First weekend, people. They're really opening. You know, that some states, not all, but some
yeah.
states opening.
I think people are creatures of habit, and I think it's going to take them a little bit of time to get back in the rhythm. I went to Oslo the first day it opened because I had to meet someone there, and believe it or not, it was about 5 in the afternoon, and there was like 6 of us in Oslo.
Crowded?
Yeah.
So this week?
It was last week. Like the first day
yeah.
it opened.
Was it last Friday?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, but, you know, I think a lot of times people just are in the habit of not going out. I mean, people...
Yeah.
Well, people still nervous. My wife won't. I told her, hey, let's go to get some dinner, and she's not ready.
So you went by yourself?
Yeah.
Nothing changes.
I was one of the 6. You just didn't see me at Oslo. Yeah.
Sitting in the, senior section. Hey, the other interesting thing is this is this. They're going to pass another, or I think they're going to pass, or at least it's going to be pushed up to the both houses, this other thing called the HEROES Act. I like how they come up with these names.
Yeah.
It's basically they want to spend $3 trillion, and I know it's getting not sure exactly how because both sides are hashing it out.
Mm-hmm.
But the HEROES Act stands for Health and Economic Recovery Omnibus Emergency Solutions Act.
Yeah.
So who wouldn't want to pass a HEROES Act? Just because if not, it means you're un-American,
sounds,
right?
Well, it's kind of like the CARE Act, the CARES Act. You better pass this. Or, is this the one that the Democrats did?
Yeah, Pelosi wrote that in her kitchen eating ice cream.
They're the ones that came up with it, and now it's
now
going
it's
through.
Being,
okay.
Now the Senate's trying to reform it from the GOP side.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, they're writing a new one in the Senate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. I mean, the last month and a half, the federal government printed, what, 1.8 million of new money?
Trillion.
So $1.8 trillion of new money.
Yeah.
Right now, they have like $9.6 trillion in the system. But what's interesting is, you know, there's going to be giveaways. That's how Congress works, right?
Yeah.
It's all panhandling.
So we call it
they're saying that student loans, if this passes, and it hasn't passed yet, but they want to forgive up to $10,000 for every federal student loan.
Just give it back?
Just, you don't have to pay $10,000.
It's gone.
Which means the taxpayers pay, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the interesting thing about that is student loans have gone up a lot. I mean, in the last 10 years, I mean, they're up to like $1.8 trillion.
$1.8 over.
So there's going to be, at some point there's going to be an issue of getting our debt payback.
Yeah.
Hey, how much did you say that this HEROES Act, Tom? $3 trillion?
$3 trillion is the number they're talking.
It's nothing.
What was the first two? The CARES was what, 2.8?
We'd have to Google it, but one was like 1.6, 1.8, I think the next one. So this would be the fourth one coming up.
So this would put us north of 6 trillion or even higher?
I've lost track, man. I need help.
Hey, we'll take our first break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
If you were diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition, you'd get a second opinion. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being too? If you've been questioning the wisdom of the investment plan you've been following, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs and offer a vital second opinion. Simply call Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management at 928-329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
With Americans enjoying longer and more productive retirement than ever, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, we specialize in solid, dependable financial advice designed to work for you towards your objectives in retirement. Whether your personal situation requires low volatility liquid assets or longer-term investments with potentially higher investment returns, it's important to first discuss your options with a trusted financial advisor. For more information or to schedule a consultation, call 329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial Services, member FINRA, IPC.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush, George Davis here. We're talking about what's going on in the world.
Our number here is 344-5258, 344-KBLU. Give us a call and any financial questions, or maybe tell us what you're going to be up to this weekend, this first three-day weekend to kick off the summer. I know they're going to be showing the drive-in movie theater here.
I went and saw it on Thursday. I was there Thursday. It was kind of fun.
Is that the one at the Desert Sun Stadium?
Yeah, Desert Sun Stadium. Yeah. City did it. And Thursday was a city day, and I talked my way in because I'm media. But they did a nice job.
All the employees got to go?
City employees were there. Mayor was there. Phil Rodriguez was there.
Was it Jumanji?
Jumanji, the new one.
Jumanji 2,
exactly.
And you pull in there with the car and...
$5 for a carload.
Okay.
You know, as many people as you want. They don't want you to leave the car. You got to stay in the car.
Yeah.
Except there's popcorn and soda. You can go over there and get that. There's bathrooms and stuff.
Will it always be $5?
Yes, $5.
How do you have...
You have to get it online. And I don't know the number right real quick.
And they probably don't have the big speaker that would...
No, you get it right to your radio.
Hang on the window, right?
88.3 FM.
It's on the radio.
Oh, okay.
Just dial it in.
Might have to upgrade your speakers in your car, George.
Yeah.
That old 1980 Impala.
Back in, must have been late 70s, my mom had a Chrysler Cordova. Chrysler Cordova with that huge trunk. So I'd load about 3 or 4 of my buddies in the trunk. And pull it to the drive-through
by yourself.
By myself, they charge per how many in the vehicle.
Yeah.
I just look up at her. I go, just one, please. they never asked me a question. And then they'd pile out of the truck, and we'd all sit there and watch driving movies.
Your car was dragging on the rear end.
So in it
brings back to good memories.
So we're talking about possibly a W here on the stock market instead of a V recovery. So if someone in April, the retail numbers came out, and retail was declined by 16.4%, which has never happened before, and that's a huge number.
Yeah.
The worst that retail's ever declined by was -6, and this is -16.4. And then you guys.
Just
probably,
April? One, the, is that
just
month?
The month of April, okay. Yeah. But then as you guys probably heard on the radio and that, like there's companies going bankrupt. JCPenney's filed.
Yep. Chapter 11.
Chapter 11. Yeah. There's two other ones, and there's probably more coming.
Mm-hmm.
But for the year, if they went back a whole year, retail sales were down 21% from a year ago. Which is, huge number.
That's big.
So then if someone ever told me, okay, because if you think about the economy, it's all based on the consumer. 75% of the GDP number is if Americans are going to go out and spend money. Mm-hmm. You say it, but that's what pushes it. So if someone said, hey, the retail is going to drop by 16% in 1 month and it'd be down 21% from a year ago, what would that do to the stock market? I mean, I would have said, that's what I'm saying. It's down 10%. But I would say, we would be down, more.
And here's something they know. You know, there's been a lot of funds out there, like the $1,200 from the federal government plus, and there's been a lot of other funds out there. People haven't spent it yet. They're sitting on it. And talking to other financial guys this morning, they were telling me, like, look, we're creatures of habits. We want to shop and all that. They won't do that for much longer. They're going to go out and spend it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to spend it. And when they do, it's going to make a big difference.
Yeah.
As you know, the stock market is a leading economic indicator. Not a laggard, so
right.
Usually 6 weeks ahead. So it's looking at glass half full type of thing, and people are going to be going out.
Assuming their predictions are right.
Another question, yeah. Tom. So your W recovery theory.
Yeah.
The second part of the W. Do you think that's already in play now, or what would cause that second W? Are we already in it? Or would it be like this second wave of opening up and people getting more infection?
Well, if you look at where the market's been the last, and Wes has it up on his computer right now, but the last probably 15, 20 days, it's relatively flat. I mean, it's zigzagging up and down a little bit, but if you look back, it's pretty flat. So I don't think it's started yet.
Okay.
To answer your question. Existing home sales, not new home sales, the existing home sales, for the month of April, down, and I know you have no idea, but I'll make you guess.
Okay. I like guessing. Existing home sales, I don't think it's as bad as you would think. I'm going to say 4%.
17.8.
Ooh, that's way off. Wow.
Yeah, 17.8. And from a year ago, that down 17%. So again, if someone told me retail's going to be down 16, homes would be down 17,
mm-hmm.
I just think that the numbers in that would be pretty beat up. So there's an old saying out there, don't fight the Fed, right? You heard that? The Fed has pumped a ton of money into people's pockets, businesses' pockets.
Tons of trillions.
Pumped
the
money into the banking system.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's not going to last forever, right? I mean, I know they're going to do another, this HEROES Act main thing might come out, but eventually this thing's going to dry up. And then at that point, the economy is going to have to stand on its own 2 feet or not. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't think they can continue to just burn through these programs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think they afford to.
Well, some of that 70% you were talking about with the consumer, I think 52% of small businesses contribute to the economy, 52% of it. So, hopefully some of these small businesses they're talking a lot are not going to make it through this, and we'll see, but that could be...
You're leading right into where I was going.
I
have this thing that gives
This was not scripted.
I have this report that gives me just a bunch of facts.
Yeah.
I mean, they tell you where the facts come from. So it says 52% of 375 small business owners, and a small business is someone between 2 to 500 employees, who were interviewed middle of April, and the fear is that they're going to be out of business in the next 6 months. So 52% of them are saying if they don't open up the economy or make it like it used to be, because some of these guys got just shut down, that they think 52% think they won't be in business.
52%?
Jeez.
I mean, but that's it could be a fear factor, but it is. I mean, it's when you get cut off like that and you're not making
absolutely.
Money, I mean, you can only last so long.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's going to happen in the next, 90 days or so. I think we'll get a better idea of how many people didn't pay their mortgage, how many people are behind on whatever other payments are out there, and how many businesses are open again or not open. But anyways, I got another stat, and I don't want to beat a dead horse here because I am relatively optimistic. I think we'll make it through this, and things will go back to normal at some point. But industrial production for the month of April, so industrial production is really anything that's kind of being made, that was down 11.2% in April.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I wonder what caused that. I mean, that's because we've had a lot of demand bent up for different products they couldn't make fast enough.
Well, but I think the supply chain got out of whack because a lot of these companies had, you know, could
supply had, schools.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't get the part to make the part to make the product. So, but then I also think, too, when some of those plants were shut down, I mean, look at the autos.
Oh,
autos
right.
were
well,
down.
Industrial production would be, wouldn't that also be the meat processing plant?
I would assume so.
Hey, check, I mean, that type of...
Check this out. From a year ago, auto production is down how much from a year ago, George?
50 or better.
60%.
79.
Yeah. It's early in the year, and they did shut it down. Yeah.
Did they count the ventilators? Like GM was making ventilators, right?
Yeah. Not auto, though. It's auto.
Auto's so, more money.
Wouldn't that still be industrial production?
Yeah, that would be industrial production, yeah.
They
it's kind of
many,
interesting,
but...
though. Obviously, we didn't need that many, and now we're shipping them.
They're giving them
shipping
away.
A bunch out to other countries, too, right?
They gave a bunch of them to the Indian tribes.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck is that all about? Indian tribes don't have ICU hospitals. They gave them to YRMC, but I guess if they have... slot machines to give away, we'll give those to the hospitals. that doesn't make any sense.
You say that you mean Native American Indians? Or?
Yes.
Okay, because they shipped a bunch to India, too.
India, yeah.
No, Native Americans here, the Kokopah tribes and the Kachan tribes, both got ventilators shipped to them. The government just shipped them ventilators.
Okay.
And so they donated them to the YRMC.
Why?
Because they don't have a...
Well, they don't have any... ability to use it. That's a specialized piece of equipment.
Yeah.
You need ICU and a, you know, a
well,
doctor's
training. Well, now has their thing on the hill. That's probably...
That's just a clinic.
Oh, so it's not specialized.
No, they're not going to do ventilator.
So they turned around and gave them to YRMC?
Of course. What are they going to do?
How many does YRMC have now?
Hey.
They have 50.
Put it on 50?
Yeah.
That's good.
Put it on eBay and see if someone will get paper. How much is a ventilator? Probably
either 6,000 or so.
I was
looking at the prices the other day, but they range in price depending on what they are. I don't know much.
As long as it's not a Russian made one.
Chinese Wuhan made.
You ever think about
the Russian ones start on fire? Remember? Mm-hmm. You hear about that?
No.
Three of them just start on fire. They messed up and.
You ever think about converting your garage over to make ventilators?
No.
I think it's a good business plan there. You know what's going to happen is...
The shop could do it. They're very technical.
Yeah, they are.
You know, Tesla did it, and they have engineers. And...
wonder if you can store ventilators where they can be good 10 years from now, or they're pretty much... once you don't
they
need
didn't
them.
Even need them. Really, New York wanted, you know, 50,000. Trump gave them 4,000. He was all mad. Then he never used the 4. He gave them away.
I don't know if you guys heard, but the airline industries are trying to figure out how to get people to fly more, right? Which I don't blame them.
So
what they're talking about doing is having the middle seat in the middle not there.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so be people all sit next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They did a study, and they said if they did this, and, you know, middle seats were vacant, how much would you have to have your ticket go up?
50%.
43%.
That's close.
Yeah. Your ticket prices would go up about 43%. Assuming they're going to pass that on to the people and not get any. But, that's a big number.
I saw some with the middle seat turned around facing backwards.
There's a design that they're thinking of maybe implementing.
I don't know how that would help, but maybe I guess you're not.
We're so used to flying forward, though.
It's probably, probably more of a mental thing where you think it helps you.
I know. Well... Russ, I appreciate you turning away when you were coughing there because that was going 50 miles an hour.
I didn't mean to.
Towards your bomb.
Hey, we'll be right back. This is Money Talk, 5:60 a.m.
Sprague Sports.
Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service, there's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center, and when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Good morning, I'm Aziza Schuler with your KYMA News 11 update. Yuma County now has 508 confirmed cases of COVID-19. That's 20 new people in one day. Imperial County now has 1,706 positive cases. 21 people have now died from it in the valley. Happy to report, though, 467 of those people have since recovered. We have a full list of drive-through coronavirus testing locations on our website, KYMA.com. Yuma Police and the Sheriff's Office want to remind you to enjoy Memorial Day weekend safely and not to get behind the wheel if you are drinking. To ensure drivers are safe on the roadways, both agencies will have additional police units patrolling the roadways starting today through Monday. Thank you for watching KYMA News 11. We will see you right back here for more news.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
With Americans enjoying longer and more productive retirement than ever, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, we specialize in solid, dependable financial advice designed to work for you towards your objectives in retirement. Whether your personal situation requires low volatility liquid assets or longer-term investments with potentially higher investment returns, it's important to first discuss your options with a trusted financial advisor. For more information or to schedule a consultation, call 329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial Services, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you were diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition, you'd get a second opinion. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being too? If you've been questioning the wisdom of the investment plan you've been following, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs and offer a vital second opinion. Simply call Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management at 928-329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA. INRA, SIPC.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, George Davis. Another great Friday in Yuma. I think we're going to stay under 100, right?
Again, yeah, it's kind of reprieve. You know, they do that. They tease us.
When it hits, you know, it's going to hit hard.
Yeah, we're going to be hitting June here before we know it. So our number here is 344-5258, 344-KBLU. Give us a call if you have anything.
So as of April 24th, we're about 20%, or we're $3.7 trillion over the budget deficit for the year. So we went over the budget by $3.7 trillion. Now, they're going to, if they do this other Heroes Act that's going to be passed through Congress and pretty quick, that's another $3 trillion. So the last time we had our deficit to GDP is what they call it. Last time it was this high was right after Pearl Harbor when we started war with the Japanese.
And that was big money.
1945, yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
What is the deficit? Was it $21 trillion before all this
23
started?
23 or something.
Oh, 23?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's going
to
end up at
so
about
to put it in perspective.
Between 25 to 28. It's already 25 and a half, I think. But it's
so
going to go...
could be at 28, close to 30.
Okay. But the other thing is, nothing that really boomed the economy was, we became the biggest oil producer in the world, the United States did. Not only oil, but also natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, a lot of money being... And I remember people telling me they're moving up to, I don't know if it's North or South Dakota, just for the jobs, because our minimum wage up there was like $25 or some crazy number.
I just checked deficit clock. It's $25
trillion. Oh, $25
trillion. Right
okay.
now, yeah.
Okay.
Mm. And that includes the last two...
Well, another three trillion to make it 28.
28, yeah. Okay.
But anyways... The number of operating oil rigs in the United States, and this is both on land and offshore, is down 54%, basically. And that's a huge hit. Oil rigs are down 54% from this downturn.
Jeez, no, that's a big one.
So if you were to guess, I would guess that, and that's a high number.
Yeah. Well, the price, do they tell us about the price of oil?
I mean, we can look up the price of oil. Isn't it
it's like 35 or something.
Yeah, but what was it before, 60? Or was it not that high?
It was at negative 35.
Well, and then that was the futures. I think oil got down to like 19 or 18 bucks a barrel.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, the actual price of oil. But oil's starting to go back up a little bit, supply and demand. And I know OPEC now, there's been different countries cutting. So I'm sure they're trying to...
Well, 54% production down, that's a lot of jobs. That's half of the... those high-paying jobs, too. Oh,
yeah. Okay. That's where I think there's going to be a little ripple effect here that people aren't factoring
in. Second W.
Yep. The other thing is, in the United States, is really big on shale drilling. You want to explain what that is, George?
Shale drilling.
Yeah, for oil.
Yeah, that's where you drill down into the shale, and you can go horizontally as opposed to just straight down, so you get a lot more area covered.
Yeah, I think you pump in water in that.
You pump in water, and it squeezes out of the rocks.
So anyways, for those guys to get serious about drilling in the United States again, they say they have to be at about $40 or higher, I think $40, $45 a barrel.
To frack.
So if that doesn't happen, and we're at $35, but it could sit there for a while, then... A lot of those companies are going to sit tight until the price of oil goes back up.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, they'd lose money.
They would be burning money, yeah. So the other interesting thing is the great state of California is, guess how much they're burning every day in unemployment benefits?
Oh, my, I don't know.
$1 billion a day.
Does that include the illegal aliens? Do they do that, too?
Yeah, I'm sure that's part of that. That's why I think there's going to be some repercussion because a lot of these municipalities get their sales tax is how they make their money, including Yuma. And, when no one was buying for, 60 days and still maybe not buying as much, these guys are going to come in with, 15, 20%, 25% under their money taken in, the revenue. So they're going to have to go in and either make a lot of cuts or they can ask the federal government for more money, which I'm sure they already are.
Well, what do you do on that type of thing? Does the government come in and bail out a whole state?
No. And the
like
president...
Like a corporation?
They already said they wouldn't.
President Trump says he won't. Yeah, and look, it's the same they did in Detroit. The federal government comes in and is a management team, and then they make concessions to, like, these retirement funds and everything else. And they fix it by letting you fix it internally, cut your expenses.
Yeah. Because a lot of these companies already had a big deficit, they had big pension problems.
Yep.
So they're already in bad shape before it even started.
Oh,
so
yeah. They see this as
blame it on the virus.
Well, and that's what part of this $3 trillion is for Nancy Pelosi, though, is to bail out those states upside down, which is unfair. Now, the four most populous states, and we're talking California, New York, Texas, and Florida, two of them are in bad trouble, and they happen to be blue states, California and New York. California has 40 million people, it's $54 billion in debt, and has a 13% state income tax. New York, 20 million people, 6 billion in debt, has an 8% income tax.
So 54 California, 6 billion New York?
Yeah, just those two. And then you go to Texas, 30 million people, 0 state income tax, balanced budget. Florida, 22 million people, or 22 million people, 0% income tax, balanced budget. Now, should Florida and Texas pay money to the federal government so that they can give it to California to pay for bad management?
Who mismanaged their state, basically.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Should we pay to have them bailed out?
I say no, but George would probably say yeah, because, you know, that's how his thought is. What do you think, George?
Well, you know, California's our neighbor and stuff. We can't let them fall. We got to help those guys out.
Wow. I was going to let them go bankrupt, go buy beach property real cheap.
You see how this guy, thinks?
He's going to go buy a house in Malibu for
$100,000. Well, and it's already, you know, people of choice and already moving out of those states, even both of those states.
But Tom made a good point. There's $6 billion in New York and $30 in California?
$54 billion.
$54 billion.
And they're spending more and giving money to illegals. We want the feds to go in and say, let us bail you out. We'll just bill Arizona, Texas, and Florida, and we'll get you whole again so that you can make more terrible financial decisions.
Goodbye to that 13% state tax. It's going to be higher than that.
Yeah.
So here's another, as you guys know, the hospitals have lost a lot of revenue because they stopped outpatient procedures,
yeah.
Elective procedures.
That's 30% of their income is elective.
Well, this stat here says the outpatient procedure, which could be elective, I guess, 48% of the revenue.
Ouch.
So not only are you going to have the local municipalities and the state underfunded, these hospitals are, right, underfunded
yeah.
to some degree.
But elective procedures are like orthopedic. Let's say you need a new knee. You know, you don't go get it today. You schedule it, so it's considered elective. And so, yeah, the orthopedic surgeons have been shut down. Those are big money for the hospitals.
Yeah. Well, so that's and then what's going to have to happen is that, I mean, I don't know the budgets of these things, but more likely than not, they're going to cut overhead, right? Because you have to. And that means you're probably people going to get cut.
Yeah.
Maybe not order technology or stuff that they need to order.
Yeah.
It has to come from somewhere.
Oh, it all gets cut. Or you just, you know, build Texas and Florida because they got money.
Yeah. Anyways, that's what I'm saying. This underlying ripple effect is out there, and I don't think anyone completely understands the amount.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's one of those things where only time will tell. That's why the market was so crazy in March. You know, it doesn't like uncertainty. We didn't know anything about the virus and what was happening, but there's a lot of uncertainty still going forward. But
I mean, in March,
there
was supposed to be a million people dead, I think. I mean, they were expecting a lot more.
Yeah, they said 2 million eventually. I mean, initially, the United States was going to have 2 million people die. During this crisis, and would have been about 1 million by now. Obviously, it's only 90,000 or 99,000, almost 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
But then I question that number, you know, when you start counting people that fall down dead drunk or jump out of a building as coronavirus death. Really? Are we stretching a little bit?
Yeah. It'd be a coronavirus if the other corona.
Yeah, wouldn't it have been 50,000 if we'd have shut down 2 weeks earlier?
Yeah. Well, we shut down really early compared to what the CDC and everybody recommended anyway. Fauci didn't recommend a shutdown. CDC didn't recommend a shutdown. Mm-hmm. Trump did, and then they called him,
George thinks Biden would have done a much better job.
Well, Biden is the one that called Trump a xenophobe
for
shutting it down too early.
Then he said,
a xenophobe?
Should have done more.
Xenophobe?
Yeah, he did.
He did?
Yeah, Biden called him a xenophobe for shutting it down too early, and now he says, shut down sooner.
Yeah.
So he could have called you a xenophobe sooner.
So, you know, I went to lunch with the mayor, Nichols.
You don't know the mayor.
Well, him and I are next to each other in our parking lot at work. But anyways, I told him about, you know, the sales tax and how that's going to be affected. And they have a plan to basically balance our budget.
They do. I like it, too. I do like it.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're making some hard decisions. I think he said it was like, what, $3 million or something?
They're making some really good decisions, I think.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed.
He said the new guy who came in is more of a numbers guy.
Yeah.
He's
Rodriguez.
Phil. He's about numbers.
Yep.
So... Hey, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5:60 a.m.
Do
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
With Americans enjoying longer and more productive retirement than ever, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, we specialize in solid, dependable financial advice designed to work for you towards your objectives in retirement. Whether your personal situation requires low volatility liquid assets or longer-term investments with potentially higher investment returns, it's important to first discuss your options with a trusted financial advisor. For more information or to schedule a consultation, call 329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial Services, member FINRA, SIPC.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
If you were diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition, you'd get a second opinion. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being too? If you've been questioning the wisdom of the investment plan you've been following, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs and offer a vital second opinion. Simply call Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management at 928-329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk here. Got Tom Rush, George Davis, Russ Clark, and in here trying to figure out, get your crystal ball out, George, and tell us what's going to happen next.
Well, next I'm going to ask you, Tom, a question here. When you think of outbreak clusters, like areas where you have a lot of outbreak of the COVID corona,
yeah.
What are the big ones that come to mind? I want to see if you nailed this one.
Outbreak clusters... What would that,
you mean like Brazil or something?
No, like areas in the U.S. that there's outbreaks you hear about, and there's like a cluster, and it gets real big.
People that stay in their house?
Well, you know what? Home is actually number one.
I got it.
Nice.
You're not talking retirement home.
Throughout the retirement home, because that's terrible, but that's a tough situation. But people bring it home, and then they are home with their families or whatever, and then you get a... That's one of the most contagious areas, the home, if someone brings it.
So you owe me a dollar, George.
I thought you would have said cruise ships.
I was, but I thought about it longer. They just came out with those stats and said a lot of the people that have it are the ones that stayed home and find themselves. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and they didn't even see anybody, and the virus found them. It's amazing.
Well, but cruise ships don't even land in the top 50.
What?
For outbreak clusters.
What about the Diamond Princess? Was like the first one of notoriety.
No, if you ignore nursing homes, meat packing plants, you hear a lot about that. That's only the number one.
Yeah.
Because they're so close together and they have to yell at each other over the machinery.
Is that what they said?
and it's cold in there. It makes sense. So that's where
the incubator
really,
kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a real bad area is the meat packing.
Wow.
Then another one is weddings, funerals, and birthdays, of course. You know, a lot of people are, if you're singing, you're putting more out there and you're getting together. And
so you have a birthday party, don't have them blow out the candles, is what you're saying, George?
Yeah, that will do. And then business networking.
Business networking.
What's another big one, yep.
So the Rotary Clubs.
I'm sure the Chamber loves to hear that, George.
Well, the Biogen conference in Boston, I guess, in late February was really bad.
spring break down in Florida.
Yeah.
They actually said not as many people, you know, I mean, I know the media made it sound like they, but some of those people went back to their universities and there was no cases.
Yeah, they highlighted a few that there were, but it was anecdotal.
Yeah, but not as big, so.
Didn't know how big it was.
Some of those universities are coming up pretty interesting decisions. Notre Dame is going to start classes in mid-August or like 2 weeks early and then finish it before Thanksgiving. Because in case there is a second, no face-to-face. But they figured if they get out early before the winter and when the real flu season and if there is a second wave.
These colleges are going to have a tough time because, you know, talk again about the ripple effect. You know, a lot of these colleges are losing money. And that now they're talking about maybe doing something online. And, you know, I think for some degree people might want to do online, but I don't think they want to pay the full tuition, right? Because it's not the full experience.
That is really becoming a double-edged sword for the colleges because they allowed everyone to stay home. And now everyone's saying, well, wait a minute. Why am I paying... Yeah. So much, you know.
I bet you it's opening eyes for parents too, saying, "Why am I paying so much when they can just go to online, different schools?" And you know, ASU, you know, has more students online, I think, than they do have at ASU. And they've always been that way.
Wow.
Yeah, they've really built out the online. So, but
when would Yuma Catholics? So I know Savannah was graduating this year. When would their graduation would have been? Tonight?
Believe it or not, they still have a chance of having a graduation. They're the only high school in town that still might have a graduation.
Good for them.
That's what happens when you're private, George. You don't get...
Make
your own choices.
The academies all had graduations. Yeah. Air Force Academy and everybody. Yeah. You know, and they changed it up a little bit.
Because on the football field, I think what they're going to do, and I don't know all the details, but... We haven't been given a no yet.
Uh-huh.
Is that going to basically space people 6 feet apart?
Yeah.
And it's a big football field.
That's
so
what they did at the academy.
You could do that, yep. And then they're going to have parents, and you get to bring two guests.
Okay.
So I think they're not going to just open it
cool.
to everybody.
Cool. I hope they do it. Yeah.
So that's the plan, I think. I don't know if it's changed, but I think they're trying to do that. So.
Isn't
and then my son's graduating from... IC, Immaculate Conception, he's an eighth grader.
Uh-huh.
And what they're going to do is they're going to do Mass, but the Mass is going to be online, so like a virtual Mass. And then they're going to do a drive-by graduation.
Drive-by?
So the kids are going to dress up, I guess have the little gowns or whatever. They're going to drive by, they're going to jump out, they're going to take pictures, I think, with the teacher, and then maybe the principal, and I think even the priest. And then they're going to jump back in your car and you're done.
That's fun.
Drive-by graduation. So
awesome.
Didn't someone recently do that? Was it Gila Ridge or somebody? I think they tried that. I heard something.
Well, they're doing...
Drive-by?
They're doing the drive-by for Cibola on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
They drive by and they get their diploma and their... what's everyone called? You have to send it to the colleges? Transcripts?
Oh, transcripts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you can't get out of the car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're not letting them out or any pictures.
Okay. Well, maybe they're not taking pictures. I thought they were, but you figure if the principal and them are dressed up, like, pretty good, you'd probably get away with it. With that mask on and everything, so.
Mm-hmm.
But how many kids are graduating from Cibola? Probably a lot, huh? Like 400 or 600?
Oh, six big, yeah.
Yeah, so that would...
Four or five, something like that.
Nothing against graduations, but...
It was Gowan that did the drive-by.
I knew someone did. I went to one Cibola graduation before, and it lasted like I think it started at like 6 or 7, and it did get out to like 1 in the morning.
Really?
So driving, it was like way. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Unless your kid's graduating, but anyways, the drive by that would take forever too, I guess.
I'm sure it's gonna take a while.
Yeah.
What? How many graduating from Yuma Catholic? Do you know? 60.
No, I think close to 100.
Okay,
that many?
Yeah.
That's big.
So I think they have like they have like 440 there.
Oh, I didn't know they'd grown that
but
much.
But the younger classes have more people.
Yeah.
So, but I'm thinking close to 100.
Oh.
So they got $9 million in college scholarships, and that's kind of their claim to fame because I think they do a lot more than the other public schools, I'd say it.
Yep,
but what they do is they have a seat in they have a class junior year where all you do is fill out applications for colleges. Like that's
you said, they really do the work.
Because a lot of times, you know, someone has to do the work, and the parents are tired, end of the day, kids aren't going to do it.
They don't know, and knowing where and who and when to do it, and the counselors do a good job on it.
And they make them write their essay, because you have to write some type of essay, and then they critique it, you know, so it's a lot of thought put into it. They let the other kids critique it. So, anyways, it's, I think last year they had 12 million, but I think with this thing, the virus thing, they didn't do as many, but it's still pretty good. I think, you know how much, I don't know what the stats are from the public school scholarship? I think it's less than 2 million at the other schools.
I'm not exactly sure.
Isn't your wife in that area, George?
Yeah, but that's...
They don't talk.
No, we do, but it's...
She lives in... Yeah.
It's kind of a...
Touchy subject?
A little bit touchy with...
No, I know. I mean...
With Cibola versus... UVA Catholic.
Uh-oh.
Hey, competition's good, George.
Well, yeah, we won't go there. So. Anyway, speaking of private schools, Tom, it's a good time to bring this up, because the tax deadline, of course, is till July 15 now. So you still have time to contribute to do your Arizona tax credit for private schools. For example, UMA Catholic, and that's at $1,138 for married, $569 if you're single. So it's quite substantial. So you get in Arizona, instead of you feel money to Arizona State in taxes, you get that credit back. It goes to UMA Catholic, for example. The public schools are $400 per married.
Nonprofits.
Nonprofits like
Everyone should really do this if they can stroke a check to the organization, because what happens is you write the check out to the organization, so the money does leave your bank account.
Yep.
And there is some applications you got to fill out to do that. One is called Stay. If you want to look it up online. The other one, one's Yes, and then the diocese has theirs. But then once you file your taxes, and there's a little bit of delay because you're not going to stroke a check and then file your taxes the next day. But once you do that, basically the money that you paid in the state taxes will be credited back to you.
Yeah.
So you're truly redirecting state money that would have gone to the state, and who knows what they do with it, directed towards an organization that either is local or you have some ties to.
And you do it to the working poor, too, like you said, like the Crossroads Mission.
Yeah, they have a military one, too.
There's a military one.
Yeah. So now a lot more people, especially with this, a lot of the nonprofits, people can't deduct, itemize their taxes anymore. And they can, but you have to have like 25,000 or a high number. So a lot of these nonprofits are filling the pinch, too. So anything you can do to help them out.
And you were also telling me it also helps saving your federal, like a 20% savings or something too, right? Because you get
because it's also, when you write a check, it's also considered a nonprofit contribution. So if you itemize, it will save you off federal. So
only if you itemize though.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you had $1,000 check and you itemize, it might save you 20% depending.
Which would be a tax deduction, not the actual match or the.
Yep. Well, we're coming up on the hour. Hope everyone has a great 3-day weekend. Be safe. I know they said the DUI checkpoints are out there, so...
Yeah, drive by and tell them hello.
Make sure you get a designated driver.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. They should have the Corona checkpoints, too.
Yeah, we would hope so.
We got checked when we walked in here.
Yes, you do. We have Star here. She's got the gauge.
She's all over it. That's good. Everybody have a great weekend.
Yep, have a great weekend, Yuma.
All right.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 hour air conditioning and heating studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU. You